Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
And he just won't quit. If you thought the Sounders were done, if you thought Woj was taking a nap, not today. And boy, oh boy, is 2008 about to have a comeback year. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got a lot of great ones that are going to help us out today. Monica McNutt, our ESPN Hoops analyst, going to join us in about 10 minutes. Adam Schefter, our NFL insider, and Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports, as we break down everything that we've seen from NBA free agency, more injury news around the NFL, and a bunch of angry Texas legislators in the Big 12. Mike Golic Jr. here, Janae Agwimike, going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, as she always does. And my oh my, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because there's a lot to unpack today. We've got to have our yearly PSA about training camp fights. Because, boy, oh boy, is the timeline just litty city today. Joe Judge got the boys fired up in here. We got a lot of Giants fans around the staff that are absolutely buying what he is selling right now. We've got Detroit Lions coach Dan Campbell looking longingly at this situation, as you've got Giants quarterback Daniel Jones scratching and clawing with his fingernails to get into the middle of this fight pile here, in a way that we're going to have to just kind of separate the realities about. So we will hear from a very angry Joe Judge in a little bit. But we mentioned all the Sounders, all the Woj bombs, everything going off in here. Look, you can't play the actual bomb sounds here, dude. People are going to be driving around in their cars, not thinking Woj broke NBA news about the Lakers, but thinking they're under attack. It's terrifying. We talked about this with Chris yesterday. Chris, you help. You
little wake me up. That's all. Little wake me up if you're driving around groggy.
You're driving home, maybe getting ready to hit a happy hour on a Tuesday here, live in fear.
Listen, I didn't get a chance to do it yesterday, so rightfully so, I had to do it today, okay? Can I just get one off, please?
All right, fine. You got it. You know what? And honestly, feels kind of worth it. Now, there were two deals that were announced pretty recently. I was watching Rachel Nichols and the crew over on The Jump this afternoon, and I saw Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, break two bits of news. The first bit of news is that Steph Curry gets a four-year, $215 million extension to stay with the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry now becomes, I believe, the first player in NBA history to notch two separate $200-plus million contracts. Which is insane in its own right, but worth it. I mean, Golden State built an empire out there on the back of Steph Curry. Like, he was the centerpiece for a franchise that now has netted all of the governors out there a nice new stadium and arena with the area around that they own all the real estate for. All that money ties back to Steph Curry. So this is a worthwhile investment, courtesy of Adrian Wojnarowski. We also had, right now, actually, breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski that the Bulls are
fine. Oh, God. Woj bomb.
You scared me. Imagine someone driving home.
There's a major Woj bomb going on right now. Chicago Bulls just got DeMar DeRozan. Look at that.
The Bulls finalizing a sign-and-trade deal to acquire Spurs' DeMar DeRozan. Sources tell ESPN here. Boy, if Chicago wasn't confusing before, it just got really confusing right now. A lot of people thought that DeMar DeRozan might follow Kyle Lowry, maybe down to the Miami Heat, but no, he heads to follow Lonzo Ball to Chicago right now. Again, in a team that yesterday we talked to Nick Friedell, our ESPN NBA reporter on this show, less than enthused about here. It's something, but it's not much. I want to get to the real something in all of this, and maybe this is just me showing my age right now. Because when we talk about the NBA free agent period and some of the actual worthwhile moves, it's a pretty underwhelming crop of free agents that we talked about here, right? Like, I would argue the biggest thing that happened yesterday was that Chris Paul decided to stay in Phoenix with the Suns. Like, Chris Paul, who we spent the entire better part of the last year waxing poetic about how important he was to a young Suns team that went from bubble darlings to a team that represented the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. And so Chris Paul deciding to keep it stable there, and the Suns signing a contract that by reports sounds like the last year and a half or so would not be fully guaranteed. So trying to guard themselves for a player who would be 40 at the end of that reported four-year deal. I would argue that's the most important thing. I get Miami fans would probably want to talk about Kyle Lowry, that team. a starting lineup that now could include, and I saw this listed out here, a starting lineup that could now include Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, who signed the largest deal ever for an undrafted player in the NBA, $90 million over, I believe, 3 years, Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker, world champion PJ Tucker, and Bam Adebayo. I get that we can talk about now, are the Miami Heat potentially the third best team in the Eastern Conference as Philly just sits there waiting to do something, anything. For the love of God, help your team. That's all fine and good. I still think the team that represented the West in the NBA Finals, a chaotic Western Conference, probably the biggest move until I saw this. This one tickled at my heartstrings because Woj also broke the news that the Los Angeles Lakers have signed forward Carmelo Anthony at the ripe old age of 37 to come play on a one-year deal for the Lakers. And there have been a lot of whispers and rumors about this. Melo, who for a while was inexplicably out of the league before coming back to the Portland Trail Blazers and lighting things up, having a little bit of a career renaissance in a way that confounded a lot of people. And I want to read you this now because this is where we're at with the Lakers roster, who, when you look at the moves that they made, a lot of moves near the bottom of the barrel financially here. Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, all coming over on vet minimum deals. Then you add Carmelo Anthony. So this tweet was from Arash Markazi, NBA reporter. This is the age of the Lakers roster currently. Carmelo Anthony, 37 years old. LeBron James, 36. Trevor Ariza, 36. Mark Gasol, 36. Dwight Howard, 35, turns 36 in December. Wayne Ellington, 33. Kent Bazemore, 32, and Russell Westbrook, the pup, at 32 years old on that roster. So where are we at with the Los Angeles Lakers after last year? Because I think quietly what a lot of these moves will tell you is we're probably nearing the end of the LeBron James timeline and all this, right? Like, these are very short-sighted moves. I'm not putting dirt on the guy by any stretch. No one give me any of the weird eyes around here. But this is a move that's about the here and now. All of these are about the here and now. This is re-upping on little one-year deals to try and ensure that you capitalize on this guy's remaining championship window, because all that matters for them is Anthony Davis and LeBron come back healthy. You add some three-point shooting around there, which some of this accomplishes to an extent, but this is about those guys getting healthy and making one more go. This is getting the Ocean's 11 heist crew back for one more heist in 2021.
I am warning you right now, do not do this to LeBron James, because it's going to be the Tom Brady thing where this take is just going to be rolled over.
Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. We'll clip it off.
I'm not
do
doing
not
the take.
Age these guys. He is different. Don't do it to yourself.
The irony that this is happening on Tom Brady's 44th birthday. Tom Brady is 44 years old, and he is the reigning Super Bowl champion. And so I'm not doing the thing where I say LeBron is done. But what I'm saying is the Lakers have to make moves that are about the here and now because their core is old. Because LeBron James, at the core of this, is old. And so you've got to operate in this way. And now, yeah, he gets to have a little fun. Like, listen, the 2008, the high school senior in me is jazzed right now. I'm going to throw on Kanye's Graduation when I leave here rocking on the way home. Because you go back, 2008 was the Dwight Howard Superman dunk contest year. Dwight Howard was leading the league in almost every defensive and rebounding category. LeBron James was damn near second in all the scoring categories. Him and Melo, the young prime of their careers, the early portion where these guys were going at each other, and it was awesome. So this is the all-nostalgia team for the Los Angeles Lakers. And again, I think it can be fine. The Lakers didn't need to do much, like the rest of the power players in the NBA, because what did we just watch in the last postseason? Extreme volatility. We talked about even the two teams in the finals, that if health had been a bit more constant, could have lost anywhere along the way. Team like the Lakers was favored over the damn Suns in the first round, a 7-2 matchup. We know what's going to happen in Brooklyn soon, the very scary thing that's getting ready to go and start happening out there when those guys all come back healthy. But you look around, this free agent period is going to be defined by making the ancillary moves, guys staying put because they understand last year was chaos. Double-digit all-stars missed at least a game during this last postseason, overwhelmingly an NBA record in that category. And so what did everyone look around and say? Hey, if we're pretty good, why don't we stay pretty good? Why don't we hold serve for a little bit and try and keep this thing moving? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. At Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, don't make fun of the old Lakers team, because as I look at that roster, I realize, oh my God, age-wise, this team is just a bunch of my friends. Like, this team is the all, like, they're going to have to spend a vet minimum worth of salary on sideline heating pads for this team. And I identify with that way too much. 888-729-3776. We'll get a hold of you guys in just a second. But coming up next, who had the best free agency overall? Was it the Miami Heat? Was it the Phoenix Suns? We'll find out next here, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everyone in the room's getting jacked up now because we got training camp fights. It's pad day around the NFL. A lot of teams throwing the full gear on for the first time this fall. And the results are about what you'd expect. Bunch of guys going out there letting off a little bit too much frustration. We'll head to Giants camp in about 10 minutes and give everyone the fight rules, the fight etiquette for NFL training camp. We are Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. But we got I've seen them called the all AARP team already right now, the Air 2008 squad here. The Los Angeles Lakers rolling up into 2021 season with a roster ripe with 30-plus-year-olds here. So for more on that, the rest of free agency, we head to the Goodyear Hotline right now to talk to our friend, ESPN basketball analyst and all-around stud. You've seen Monica McNutt on KJZ. You've seen her over on First Take, Around the Horn, Highly Questionable. Monica's everywhere. What's going on, Monica? How you doing?
Kojo, I miss you, my dude, and thanks for that intro.
I appreciate you. We miss you, too, around here, Monica. It's been nice to see you go. You're on to bigger and better things now, so we just appreciate you coming and giving us some time every once in a while still.
Well, you know, this is home. Talk to our girl, Janae, who crushed it on the NBA draft, all that good stuff. So let's get into the AARP team, shall we?
Listen, Monica, and it hurts me because I look at the age of this roster, and I go, oh, my God, this is my age peer group right here, and we're going to look at them like this. But, Monica, as far as a strategy here, what the Lakers have done in free agency, they go and get Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and now put the cherry on the sundae with Carmelo Anthony here. Is this a winning formula for Los Angeles?
I don't think so. I'll be honest. Listen, LeBron James continues to be LeBron James, and obviously he is the leader of that group, and then Anthony Davis, too. But not only are we talking about a unit that got some miles on him, Gojo, we're talking about a unit that is susceptible to injuries. Like, I'm thinking of all the guys you just named, and I want to think of a guy who gives me 30-plus minutes and plays, I'll take 85% of the regular season consistently. And I guess, I mean, Melo's sort of in that conversation, but I question if he's right under that 30 mark in terms of what we saw him do in Portland. We know Dwight wasn't clocking them kind of minutes. Trevor Ariza, I think, maybe did it two seasons ago as the most recent. I really like Kent Bazemore. I've had a chance to talk to him at ODU. I think he's a great dude, but like, huh? So I guess the theory is LeBron still likes to be surrounded by shooters. Okay, check that part. But are we going to make it through a season and then the playoffs?
And after last year, I think that's the number one question on everybody's mind. So you're right. The Lakers are going to have some concerns there on this roster that's going to lead the league in sideline heat pads. I want to go the opposite coast, though, now, Monica. You do a lot of great work over at the MSG Network. And the Knicks were on the full run it back tour here. How is this for strategy? Is it smart for them handing out multi-year contracts to some of the same players we saw last year for the first time since 2018 for this Knicks team?
Okay, so I've been sitting with all of the moves the Knicks have made. Evan Fournier, I like. I don't know that he would have been the guy that I necessarily would have gone after. But in terms of a wing playmaker, defender, an upgrade to Reggie Bullock, I think he's a better version of Alec Burks, who I think Alec Burks has some room to get to in terms of reaching his ceiling. I don't think he's there yet. I think a big piece of what we saw the Knicks do was let's not mess it up, right? And we saw a great foundation get put in place. And then, of course, they flamed out in the playoffs. But you bring back Derrick Rose. You hold on to Noel. Like, there's something to be said for continuity moving forward. And, Gojo, I think we have to have an honest conversation about this past season. While the Knicks were terrific defensively and they showed some promise, they also caught some big-time breaks in terms of other teams dealing with COVID at inopportune times. And so I respect the continuity part of it. I'm a little bit still scratching my head on the point guard piece of it. D. Rose is terrific, but he's not, again, he's AARP club. Like, he's not a 35-minute-a-game, night-in-night-out kind of dude. So I'm kind of sitting and watching. I don't know that there's much money left in the bank. I'm a fan of Dennis Schroeder. I know he kind of flamed out with the Lakers and didn't really show up in terms of betting on himself. But overall, he's the kind of personality that I like for that group. I don't know if that there's enough money left in the bank to pull that off, though.
Monica McNutt, our ESPN NBA analyst, with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Monica, my only question for the Knicks was, in this free agent class, what move was there out there for Leon Rose, for World Wide West, to really go all in on at this point?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. And I think the big ones would have been what we've heard loosely, right? CP3, Damian Lillard. And I kind of expected CP3 to go back. The Dame thing, I'm not privy to how crazy the numbers would have been. But again, if you're the Knicks and you buy, you now have a foundation. Nobody's saying that this team has constructed post this free agency was supposed to contend for an NBA title, right? So if you buy that you have a foundation and you look at the East, and you still say the richer got richer. Well, maybe not. Well, who is at the top of the East? The Bucks, the Phillies, Brooklyn, Miami probably will sky up there. Where do you see yourself finishing? And if it's about getting out of the first round, don't run into the Atlanta Hawks again. I think maybe, if you repeat some of the success in terms of the defensive prowess that you saw last year, Julius Randle continues to improve. Maybe Alec Burks takes that next step, minus a big chunk of an injury that he missed last season, and Evan Fournier comes in to be all that you think he can be. Maybe you get to the second round or out of the second round of the playoffs. So I'm not mad at it. I think you got to remember you're still playing the long game. And to your point, outside of Dame, I'm not sure what the big free agency snag could have been that would have skyrocketed you into contention.
And we heard Stephen A. Smith, our ESPN Hoops analyst, host of First Take, say if Dame Lillard was going to move his way out, he believes the New York Knicks would be at the top of that list. Monica, real quick, we only got about a minute left here, but you mentioned the Miami Heat there. They add Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker. They signed Duncan Robinson to the largest contract for an undrafted player. Does that team now move right behind Milwaukee and Brooklyn?
They're up there. I don't know, right behind. Listen, Gojo, we can't talk. Atlanta is in this conversation. Let's not forget how they flamed out behind injuries to Trae Young, you know what I mean? So I think the East is going to be interesting. To me, the Kyle Lowry and the P.J. Tucker deal in particular, that's all about Heat culture, right? And whether they would admit it or not, they were not themselves down the stretch of the postseason last year. So, yeah, I think you got to throw them in there, but I don't think we can sleep on Atlanta either. The East is going to be fun.
East is going to be a lot of fun next year. Follow her on Twitter at McNutt Monica and check her out all over ESPN. Monica, you're the best. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon, friend.
Thanks, Gojo. Have a great show.
Thanks, Monica here. By the way, guys, the Lakers, trying to get some old players on that roster around LeBron James, are making major moves.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
All right, coming up next, I saw a lot of people mad online about Dan Campbell saying some things about fighting in training camp. I saw Joe Judge making his players run sprints after a fight in theirs. I'll tell you where the real issue is and what fight etiquette looks like in training camp. We'll do it after this word from Indeed. Now, finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes. Indeed's going to make hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests that are going to help candidates prove that they have the experience your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit. Let's put our hands in the dirt next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. here. Chanae Agwumike going to join us in the next half hour. And I want to hear from you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Because now it's really training camp time. Not only for some of the things that we're about to get into here. We got to do the yearly PSA to remind everyone what's real and what's not. But we also got to get to this point because now I'm seeing the tweets that are starting to come out. It's like best shape of their life season where we've got players showing up here and Tua Tagovailoa is getting cheered at Dolphins camp right now. All his teammates waxing poetic about the jumps he made. I saw Trey Lance got a rep with the ones at Niners camp and now we're all in a tizzy. Lewis Riddick's doing the thing. Lewis Riddick, if you pay attention to anyone's tweets during the NFL preseason anointing quarterbacks, it's probably our ESPN NFL front office insider, Lewis Riddick, who's out here saying he's not going to say it, but Justin Fields is getting some pretty freakish reviews in Chicago. So which early training camp story has you most hyped for your team right now? 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Want to hear from you on the Goodyear hotline. But we've also got this conversation coming up because most NFL training camps finally put pads on. For anyone unfamiliar, the NFL CBA, you got to go X amount of days. It's called the acclimatization period. So you've got probably 4 or 5 days where you got to start off helmets and shorts. Then you move to just shoulder pads, just shells. And then finally you get to full pads. Got to get everyone's body back into this. And so the first part of this conversation came up this morning because we had a big old fight at Giants training camp. But that was after we had heard from the Lions head coach Dan Campbell, who came in here biting kneecaps, obviously making it known. He's a big football guy, wants to put his hand all the way into the dirt and make this thing happen. But he just talked at the Lions presser today about how we get to the training camp intensity required. Here was Dan Campbell at the Lions presser.
I'm a rookie, and he says, "Hey, Dan, are you ready?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready." He goes, "Okay, so when this thing goes down, make sure you got my back." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, you know, when this thing goes down." I said, what's going down?" He said, "Just have my back. Make sure you got my back, you know." And so, so it was like first period, you know, team run. And it was like literally the first play. And one of our D linemen just slugs the crap out of our center, and it's all out. It's an all-out brawl. And I'm looking, there's Howard, and I'm like, somebody's on his back, you know. And so I'm running over there, and you know, you're grabbing people, you're just trying to get involved, but yet you don't really want to be in there and fight in the middle of all of it. So it's really changed a lot since then, but it was like every day, first day of camp, here we go. That's not what I'm looking for.
So we get to all that story for him to say, that's not what I'm looking for. And he goes on to say, we'll find out who can deliver punishment and take punishment. I want to see guys compete. I want to see these guys get to the point where it's almost an all-out brawl, but there isn't one. If you don't push it almost to the point, you really don't get where you need to get, in my opinion, in this league to be competitive at the highest level. He went on to say he wanted to see guys strain, particularly up front. And I saw there became this whole back and forth on Twitter about this, if this was some macho tough guy BS. And I'm the first one to say, when we heard from Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, early on about biting kneecaps, all I heard was, man, we're going to do way more 9-on-7 inside run drill, live periods than anyone wants to do. And if I was a veteran, that probably wouldn't be something I'm excited about. But what he's describing here is exactly what happens. Like, everyone is going to be ready to almost fight when you get out there to the first day of pads. And that's something you better be. Like, he heard there when you got a teammate saying, you better have my back. The one place going into training camp, especially as a guy up front, especially if you're on the back end of the roster, I had every vet before I went to my first training camp, 2013, undrafted free agent lineman with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every veteran O-lineman I talked to leading into that said the same thing. Get noticed by any means necessary. That's not be dirty, but it's you got to be the guy pushing him at the end of the play, pushing guys over the top of the pile, starting fights if you need to. Like, that's just how the game has to go in some instances here. OTA is my rookie year. We're not even in pads, but I'm an undrafted guy. We're taking 3 reps against the one defense because that's how the rotation worked out. Larry Foote's a veteran linebacker for that team, and I block him a little longer than he thought I needed to, and I got a hand up under my face, and the entire defense rallied around me ready to do something. Like, that's the cost of doing business. That's how you can get noticed at certain times. And so I look at what Dan Campbell said, and I said, that's not anything to really write home about. That's just training camp. Like, you got to get to that point. And especially if you're a young guy, man, there's realistically only a handful of roster spots that are really up for grabs. And so you got to get noticed. You got to go out there and find a way to strain through that. I get that they're pros, but this to me didn't cross the line. What gets interesting is what we saw in Giants camp. Because we saw reports out of the Giants training camp there that a fight started there that included their star quarterback Daniel Jones getting in the mix in the middle of the pile. Now, here was DJ after practice, the Giants quarterback, trying to kind of downplay what we heard about.
You know, for one, the energy, the excitement, the willingness to compete, the wanting to compete is all positive. I think, regardless of who it is, people who are excited to be there, who want to play football, who want to compete. Right now, the opponent's the defense, their opponent's us. So we're competing against each other. But like I said, we got to do a better job handling it. There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose, you're cool. there's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
Have you ever seen him that angry before?
Yeah, he's a pretty, you know, he can get excited, and I think, you know, guys respond to it, and I think they certainly got the message today.
I think, Daniel, some people would say, you know, starting quarterback, you know, kind of stay out of that. What made you want to run in and participate?
I'm part of the team, and I don't, you know, part of the team, part of the offense, and we're competing, so I don't see myself separated from that.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's a young team and a young quarterback, and he'll learn that's not the case, because at some point, if Daniel Jones gets to the point that they drafted him to be as the sixth overall player in the draft, where you're the franchise, every veteran quarterback learns. The rest of the team loves you, appreciate it, all that stuff. Every once in a while, it fires you up to see a quarterback finish somebody off on a run, but you got to stay the hell away from that. If you're the franchise, you got to stay the hell away from that. Now, the thing that I felt like crossed the line in all this was Joe Judge had these guys doing push-ups, running 100-yard gassers after this. That's the stuff that when we talk about a coach's approach to these situations, I get that there's consequences, because every coach got a different policy on the fight game in camp. A lot of coaches will tell you, we don't do that at all. Some coaches will throw you out of practice for that to make a point. Some coaches will make both guys leave practice. Some coaches will just stop the drill, MF you like Joe Judge clearly did to these guys, and then keep it moving with all that. But the running gassers, all that, like that's a college-level application to this that maybe you can get away because you've got a younger core roster on this team, but that's the part to me that's a little bit unnecessary in this.
Bro, you really believe Daniel Jones wanted smoke in that pile? Like, yeah, I'm part of the team. Come on now. It's Daniel Jones. Stop it.
I'm telling you, listen, you don't have to want smoke, but again, I'm just telling you, the one edict that was always out there, and this was more like along the O-line, was just if there's a fight, you don't want to be the guy when they cut on film later and they're watching that All-22 copy and they see you standing on the sideline. You don't want to be that guy. And I'm sure Joe Judge has preached that mentality to this team, and it seeped in with Daniel, even though he shouldn't be in there.
I'm saying he has the red jersey. Number one, he doesn't want the smoke. Number two, he definitely doesn't need to get the smoke because the coach doesn't want him to get the smoke.
I totally get it. And that's why they're all getting yelled at, by the way. Like, the biggest fights you will see during camp are when a D lineman gets in the air quote cylinder. Like, you'll hear that all the time. Stay out of the cylinder. It means D lineman, stay the hell away from the quarterback we're paying $30 million a year to. And when you get inside that, that's when the O line D line starts getting chippy. That's when the coaches start to lose their bleep. So that's all it is. And I know DJ doesn't actually want the smoke. He shouldn't be in there. But all of this is to say, I am fine with Joe Judge and Dan Campbell setting a physical tone to an extent. Hell, I got to the Steelers after an 8-8 season. Mike Tomlin was ticked, and that was a physical training camp. But there's a difference of doing that and still treating everyone like adults as opposed to the 100-yard gassers, etc. Now, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear the training camp nugget you're most excited about right now, the player, the position battle that's already getting you hot and bothered, even though we're day one in pads. Plus, we will get to, I know injuries are a part of training camp, but they didn't need to hit this close to home. We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Coming up tomorrow on the Max Kellerman Show, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert, as our countdown to the NFL season continues. Justin Herbert, tomorrow at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Gwumike going to be joining us in about 10 minutes around here on ESPN Radio. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. I just got a little sweaty in the last segment talking about training camp fights here. Joe Judge and Dan Campbell have me officially fired up, and most of it is because I don't actually have to hit anyone anymore. But we want to get your thoughts, because now that the pads are on in training camp, we've already got people getting way too excited about stuff early. And we want to hear from you what you're hottest on heading into the early portion of NFL training camp. What's already got you going here? Let's start with Joe in New York. Joe, you're on Chinay Ngolik Jr. What's got you hyped this training camp?
Mike, the biggest loss is Indianapolis Colts. I know who you're going to talk about. Quentin Nelson. That's a huge monster loss. He is the toughest offensive lineman in the whole league. He can take on anybody. And that's a huge loss for the Colts besides losing their quarterback. I just thought I'd chip in with that one.
No, okay? Listen, it's absolutely right. And for anyone that's missed that, Joe is right. Colts offensive guard, all-pro offensive guard, mauler of human beings, Quentin Nelson, going to be out 5 to 12 weeks with basically the same injury that Carson Wentz got not too long ago. I saw Frank Wright was on with Pat McAfee earlier and essentially said this was something that's kind of been this way in Quentin's foot since he was a kid that finally just got to a point they had to surgically repair it. So he's now in that 5 to 12 week window. And again, if this is about pain tolerance, I have a feeling Q's going to be back closer to the 5 week mark.
That wasn't Joe from New York. That had to be Devin Kane from Bristol. That had to be.
I would not be surprised.
He knew you way too well. He knew you way too well.
He was ready for it too here, Joe in New York. My God. Devin Kane in Bristol, our intrepid producer here, who understands the value of losing Quentin Nelson, because now you've got, I believe, their starting center banged up in Ryan Kelly, one of their starting left tackles. They signed, from the Kansas City Chiefs, who tore his Achilles in the playoff run down the stretch, Eric Fisher. And you're still waiting on the other side for your defensive stalwart to come back. So that's a team that right now is already got to feel like it's drowning. I had a radio station earlier ask me, what do you do when you're a team that it is clear God hates at the beginning of this season? And right now, that seems like it might be the Colts. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Coop in North Carolina. Coop, you're on Shanae Angola Jr. What's hyping you up already in the NFL preseason?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I am a big Eagles fan. I'm loving what I'm hearing out of training camp over there in the Eagles. So I just want to ask, I see Ertz is still with us here at camp, which is exciting and great, but I know that may not be long lived. But I want to see how are we looking as far as offensively with Ertz and maybe Goddard there. I know we just lost Smith for a little while, but I'm sure he'll be back, and I want to see some of those guys get some action here on offense.
Yeah, appreciate the call. So I think Devonta Smith, we know, is right now week to week being evaluated after a knee sprain the other day. I think he's going to be a huge boom for this offense that, remember, lost a lot to the COVID-19 opt-outs last year heading into the season after some moves they made. It's all about two things. One, the development of Jalen Hurts is the obvious one. But two, to me, is that offensive line getting back to somewhere near its form here. Can Lane Johnson come back and stay healthy? Brandon Brooks is already missing some time early in camp. So that foundation for the Eagles was always at the center of this. Health has been their hangup for the last few years here. I don't have to tell the Philadelphia fans around here anything about that. So 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's get one more in here. And let's go to Marcus in Detroit. Marcus, you're on Shanae Angola Jr. What's got you hyped so far in camp?
What got me hyped is the quarterback battle in New England against Cam Newton and Mac Jones.
Yeah, look, you know what? I can understand this one. And we're seeing right now, I think this is what dominates early in camp, is us getting excited about quarterbacks. The first extended look at some of these young guys. Trey Lance got a couple of reps with the ones in San Francisco, and now everyone's ready to jump on that one. Justin Fields getting rave reviews in Chicago. Tua Tagovailoa in year two in Miami. Already getting rave reviews. Mac Jones is the one that's really interesting for me, just because in New England, those are going to be two very different offenses that him and Cam Newton both run in the course of that camp. I just feel like if you're New England, all of the aggressive moves that you made this offseason, all the money you spent, would tilt this in favor of saying, let's get Mac Jones out there and really gun for this thing. Cam Newton, yes. Bill Belichick has a ton of respect for him. Cam has acquitted himself well every time he's talked about this upcoming quarterback battle, his role on the team as an aging veteran player and all this. But I think we saw last year, physically, we're getting close to tapped out with Cam Newton. Like, that shoulder and that arm just do not seem to have a ton more. I know he had COVID last year, and so we can't fully account for what effects that could or could not have had on him at that point in time. But all I'm saying is, if I'm that team, I'm leaning towards trying to get Mac Jones on the field as soon as possible and saying, we spent money fortifying that offensive line up front. We got weapons for you, tight end weapons that are quarterback friendly, especially for a young player. And let's see if we can get this thing rolling right now, because we know one thing. Bill is sick and tired of having to hear about all the great things with Tom Brady at 44 years old. Today, happy birthday, Tom, winning yet another Super Bowl. 888-729-3776. We'll get to more of your early training camp hype here on Shanae Angola Jr. But coming up next, a lot of that stuff has to do with the young guys. I want to head back to NBA free agency and find out if the LAARP team can try and make things happen for LeBron James in a closing window next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.